will drone technology move into our consumer consciousness? Sure seems like we've been talking about them for a while now. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton skips past drones delivering paper towels and into drones helping with the Hurricane Harvey disaster. That conversation starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. Hurricane Harvey's impact on Southeast Texas, the economy, and the nation are still being tallied. It could take years before we get our arms around the damage from this natural disaster, a disaster made worse, by the way, through climate change. As the waters recede, the assessing begins, and insurance companies are the front line of that assessment process, and those companies are using drones. Fleets of unmanned aerial vehicles will help make quicker and safer assessments, which means a quicker resolution to claims and, hopefully, a faster recovery for those in need. The response to Harvey, human toll aside, also exposes an insurance industry in a state of transformation. It's not just disaster recovery that's being assessed. The insurance industry on the whole is transforming. Here's my chat with a 30-year veteran analyst of the insurance industry.
Mark Brading, I'm partner with Strategy Meets Action.
Let's start at the beginning when it comes to the aftermath of this rather historic storm. As the floodwaters recede, it's time to assess, and that means insurance companies need to come in and assess the damage of their policyholders. Could you just give us an overview of what you see when it comes to what's going to happen first, and then we'll talk about the technology that might help what happens?
Of course, insurers are already on the ground, in place, trying to start the damage assessment. And, of course, you're using drones and aerial imagery to do that as well. But the really tragic thing about this particular storm is that there's such a high percentage of properties that are uninsured, both residential properties and commercial properties. I've seen estimates of as much as 80% of the properties that are going to sustain flood damage do not have insurance. So it's a significant problem. It's probably going to be the largest economic loss of any event in U.S. history. But from an insurance industry standpoint, it will be certainly a lot of loss, but not as big. But it's, of course, unfortunate for homeowners and business owners.
So Mark, just anecdotally speaking, I wonder, why are so many people uninsured in a known floodplain? Is it that it's tough to get insurance? Is it not offered enough? Or do people just kind of like roll the dice?
It's a variety of things. Some of it's just a lack of awareness. Some of it is a choice that, you know, it's an extra premium. They don't want to pay it. It's not going to happen to me. And in some cases, folks may have flood insurance, but it may be the coverage limits. So they may sustain far more damage than, you know, the maximums that they're going to get paid for. So it's still a big problem.
Thank you for that. Let's go back to your original answer before I kind of interrupted you. You mentioned drones coming in, and it's my understanding that this is one of the seminal moments for drone technology and disaster assessment. Is that your take on it as well, or is that a little bit overblown?
No, absolutely. Insurers have been experimenting with drones for a few years now, you know, and have used them in other prior situations, but mostly in an experimental mode or in very small fleets of drones to just see how they work. This is really the first major test of drone technology for a big event like this. And so virtually every large insurer and many smaller ones already have or have plans for deploying large fleets of drones for damage assessment for claims in this case.
It seems to me that if insurance companies are employing new technology like fleets of drones, that they really need to be at the top of their game.
Catastrophe situation like Harvey is really where the insurance industry shines. As I said, I've been around the insurance industry for a long time, and you know, this is the most important touch point. Everybody can recognize if you have a claim, it's emotional, it's financial, it's very important. And in a situation like this, it's all hands on deck for insurers. Every insurer I know that has exposures down in Texas, they have their mobile teams, their CAT teams, they have technology deployed, and it's their entire focus now to help it, the folks down in Texas, and of course it's going to be Louisiana as well.
Speaking purely technically and not disregarding the human toll here, but trying to stick to the point of the technology being used, is this kind of a triage situation where an insurance company will send out and they will do an initial assessment, and that way people can start recovering and they can get their checks written, and then they'll go back in and do a reassessment?
That's the case, and drones will be used in both cases. So, you know, when you think about it, there's so many advantages to using drones for damage assessment like this. For one thing, it's obviously much safer than sending a human into some of these areas that might be dangerous.
Right.
It can be operated by a person that's less senior. You can take a lot more pictures, a lot faster, and video. You can get to angles that aren't possible for a person to get to that's climbing up on a roof or something like that. So the net is it saves money, it provides more detail to more accurately assess the damage, but there are also some challenges and some issues around using drones as well.
Let's get into those, because I'm guessing that an insurance company who is not using drones right now is probably in the minority. So what are some of the challenges that come with this technology?
Well, some of the challenges right now is that there's still flight restrictions. So you mentioned some of the regulations. The FAA, in August of 2015, they issued Part 107, which started to allow commercial entities like insurers to use drones. But they have to be within the pilot's line of sight. The maximum height is 400 feet. So that does present some problems, because in a situation like this where you have widespread flooding, there's still a lot of areas that they're not going to be able to get to with the drone, which is why, you know, insurers also use planes for aerial imagery to do some of that triage that you mentioned and to get kind of the big picture of the damage and where they need to send adjusters and how their policyholders are going to be affected.
You know, while we have you on the line, we watch the venture capital money here because of where we are, right? We're in the Bay Area. And I've been watching a plateau of interest in financial technology, but an increase in interest in insurance technology. Now, I'm a macro kind of journalist, and I'm just driving by. You're in the weeds. Am I seeing that correctly?
Yes, we're actually tracking about 1,100 insurtech startups around the world. About 60% of those are in North America, and of course, Silicon Valley is a big piece of that, but it's really happening everywhere. And these insurtech startups are addressing a pretty wide variety of problems and opportunities in the insurance industry.
The reason I brought that up, Mr. Brading, is because with drones that we've been discussing, obviously that's automation to an extent. And with other automation coming online, especially when people think about their cars and semi-autonomous and autonomous driving and trucking, is that a pivot that the industry is having to make, or that the VCs are seeing an opportunity for, and that's why the pivot's happening?
Absolutely. I've been involved in the insurance industry for 30 plus years, and I've looked at the whole history of the industry, and there is no time like the past couple of years in terms of change for the insurance industry. Virtually every senior executive that I talk to recognizes it's a time of transformation. They have to be bolder. They have to be aggressive. In fact, many of the large insurers have set up their own venture capital arms and are investing in insurtechs and some of these new ventures.
What does insurtech look like? I mean, can you give us a drive-by of, like, what are some of the technologies that people are trying to develop in order to address this transformation?
Sure. Well, it falls into different categories, as you might expect. There's a whole set of insurtechs that are really in the sales side of things. They're trying to create digital agencies to improve the way insurance is sold, whether it's to individuals or to businesses. But then there are a lot that are really centered around technology. So there's certainly a lot that are in the smart home ecosystem with smart devices for homes or business buildings and properties. There's a whole set that are around connected car, autonomous vehicle kinds of ecosystem. Because, as you can imagine, there's great potential to reduce the risk, which is, you know, potentially a great benefit for society. But insurers, you know, have a pretty important role to play there with their expertise.
Mr. Brading, this has been a ton of fun. Thank you so much for your time this morning, and thank you for your expertise.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Jason.
That was Mark Brading. Mr. Brading is a partner at Strategy Meets Action. It's an enterprise consulting firm. Mr. Brading has been in and observing the insurance industry for 30 years. For more on him, his firm, and the state of an industry in transition, go to kgoradio.com/techonomics. Then look for the article that goes with this week's show. All of our sourcing and reference links are in that article. Coming up after the break, we have more talk about automation. This time, it's image recognition. What are the stakes around facial recognition and similar technologies? That's coming up next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please come on back.